welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Look forward to coming together as family, no matter what the circumstances are. It appears we are willing to put away whatever negative differences we may have had against each other to provoke what I see is a spirit of unity. In our church ritual today, we are preparing to take the Lord's Supper, which is a spirit of unity exudes across the entire church as we come together to remember the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even in America, a country that is full of its rich traditions and holiday celebrations, bring about unity and peace. And yet, this belief is not always readily embraced by all. In other words, we are willing to remember the sacrifices of others that others have made because it will only last one day or one day that we celebrate it or recognize it. If it only lasts one day, we're okay with it. Which would explain why the words found within the Declaration of Independence sound so good and encouraging, but they lack believability because they are words written on paper and not in people's hearts. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You see, words without action are meaningless. I think we would agree that even in the current climate, all men are not created equal. And this was recently evident in the state of Indiana, where an African-American man was pinned to a tree and threatened by a white supremacy group of citizens who uttered the words, "Get the noose out," to hang him. How free or how equal do you feel? The struggle to find and maintain unity in our world and in the church, it's an ongoing struggle. The world today is dominated by a concentration of extreme power and wealth in the hands of just a few people. Instead of living in denial, African Americans should live by the divine truths uttered to us by Jesus. We are made in the image of God. God's desires for us are abundant lives marked by peace, marked by prosperity, and marked by generosity. And since we have only one Lord in Jesus Christ, to whom we must answer, we should never let anyone or anything become master over us. David was king of Judah and Benjamin. He inherited a divided nation, but the Lord then gave him a united kingdom. See, this particular psalm is intended to help our church recognize the need for unity, how God's desire and creates unity. And when we place our confidence in Lord, in him, rather than in ourselves, or even in our circumstances, life's hardships won't seem quite difficult. Psalm 133 says, it's a one of 15 songs referred to as a song of degrees. By degrees, it means steps or stages, or ascending up or climbing. In other words, one verse will lay down a particular idea and the next verse will build upon the same idea as steps further. Our spiritual life sometimes is just like that. It is a life of degrees. Our spiritual experiences with the Lord can be described as different degrees, as a series of steps or wavering steps. I remember when I asked Jesus to come into my heart, and I told everyone who was listening about Jesus and surrounded myself with other believers. I showed up for church service. I volunteered to help the needy. I read my Bible daily. I prayed without ceasing, but I still could not shake off some things right away because it's the steps. It is a continual going forward and going up. It is steps and stages that will ultimately take us to a place of peace. Sometimes we think we could just come in right away and everything will be all right. But the devil ain't forgot about you. The devil know it was just yesterday that you act like a fool. So just because you're in the church, that don't mean that the church is in you yet. That's why we have to encourage one another to be on track with what the Lord has for us. The opening statement appears to announce rivalry between two or more people, possibly a sibling relationship or spiritual brother. This text challenges us to strive for unity despite our differences. The text opens and says, Behold, it is good in itself, agreeable to the will of God. See, we cannot conceive or express the goodness and pleasantness of it. Behold, it's a rare thing, and there shall be so much goodness and pleasantness among men that we will dwell as one. In other words, having one heart, having one soul, having one interest. That's what unity is all about. You don't have to look at me to be in unity. If we believe in this same book, that's enough to set the tone for us to be in unity. The writer goes on and says, how good, how good in itself, how proper, how suited to promote happiness and to diffuse good influence abroad. How pleasant, the writer says. The word used here means how lovely, how charming, how attractive, that which fills the minds with delight. Then he goes on and says, for brethren or sisters to dwell together in unity. They are redeemed by the same Savior, are we not? They serve the same Master, do we not? They cherish the same hope, do we not? They are looking for the same heaven. They are subject to the same trial, the same temptation, the same sorrow. They have the same precious constellation, do we not? That's what it means to be in a spirit of unity. Maintaining the spiritual unity of God presents people the work of the believer with the help of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit is so important in our lives. It helps guide us. It helps keep us in tune. Because there's one body, one Spirit, one Lord, one faith. Lord knows there's only one baptism. This morning I want to share with you three ministries of the Spirit I see in this particular song. I want to encourage us to know that no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, we can still be in a spirit of unity. This is what Christ called the church to be. The first one I see, it says, we are born of the Spirit. That's in verse 1. We're born of the Spirit. Because it says, behold how good and how pleasant it is, it says, for brethren. That means it links us together, men and women. That means we had to be birthed out of something. That means we have been brought together by somebody else, not just by mom and dad. That's the natural stuff. I'm talking about the spiritual birth. This song, I believe, is one of brotherhood and fellowship, a dwelling together in unity, not quarreling, not devouring one another, but delighting each other with mutual endearment and promoting each other's welfare with mutual service. See, despite the high priestly prayer of Jesus for oneness among the ranks of those who follow him, the history of the church is littered with division and schism. Oh yeah, yes it is. It's littered with that. Cain killed Abel. Lot quarreled with Abraham. Joseph's brothers hated him and sold him into slavery. In addition, his brothers did not even get along among themselves. Miriam and Aaron criticized their brother Moses. Some of David's children turned against him. The disciples frequently quarreled over who would be the greatest. Paul and Barnabas argued over John Mark, broke company with each other, and chose new ministry. The book is littered with history of schisms and quarrel. So why should our church be any different? Why should you be any different? And here we are again, where rivalry and division still exist. As we look at our own country, divided by what is called red and blue states, yet the struggle for equality, the struggle for fair justice and black independence is lacking on both sides in order for us to move forward as a country. So it don't matter who you vote for in actuality, until the church holds whoever is in any kind of office accountable, God is never going to be pleased with how we make our decisions. It seems like something always has to happen to bring us to a state of unity. See, we have to stop allowing events to dictate our responses. The scripture says, but when he, meaning Jesus, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth to stay in a spirit of readiness. See, why should the loss of a job bring us closer to a family? Or why should a life-threatening illness cause us to realize how precious life really is? Why should a doctor's examination remind us that we have hypertension? Why should a doctor's examination remind us that we are diabetic, high cholesterol, need to be or eat more healthier? Let the truth be told, we already know about these things. It appears sometimes that we are willing to wait till life threatens us before we move to a place of action. See, the Bible gives us wisdom, does it not? We have the ability to read. We have the ability to pray. We have an ability to even go directly to God now. But yet and still, we would allow things like this to happen before we are moved to action. We must set aside our own preferences and preconceptions and strive to be free of social pressures and psychological strains. See, another view of the text is how agreeable it is for brethren to live together in unity. If we could only agree on what song to sing on Sunday, if we could only agree on what prayer would be prayed and by whom, if we could only agree what announcements that are necessary to be announced, what people to recognize and for what purpose, those who have truly been born of God belong to the same family and need the same love from one another. We need each other. And as Christians, we have experienced the same spiritual birth. We worship the same God, declare the same gospel message, preach from the same scriptures, and are headed for the same heavenly place. See, that's why we are born of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 tells me some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles. Some are slaves, some are free, but we have all been baptized into the one body by one Spirit. And we all share the same Spirit. See, those who have truly been born of God belong to the same family. And we are desperately in need of one another. The psalmist states, how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters can live together in unity. Because if we can live together in unity, when we do that, when we live in harmony, it blesses God. That's what we have to understand. That's what it means to be born of the Spirit. That's what verse 1 is trying to get us to see. We're birthed out of the same mold. We are the image of him that created us, the one that breathed life into us, created us in his own image. The second point this morning is in verse 2. It says, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard. In other words, we are anointed by the Spirit. That's what it's trying to get us to see. The two metaphors which follow in our text are already both regarded as beneficial and both are symbolic blessings of God. The precious oil on Aaron's head ran down his beard and robe. See, in Scripture, oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, for this anointing was given to priests, prophets, and kings, and all who needed the Spirit's help to be able to minister effectively. So when we have our ordination services, if you notice, we follow the same premise. No matter whether it's a deacon, no matter whether it's a preacher, We follow the same. We lay hands on them. We put all on them because it's symbolic of the Lord coming down from heaven to anoint us and set us aside for his special service for the purpose of building up the kingdom of Christ. So I know I'm talking to myself, but I want to encourage you, those that are even sitting in the pews at home, that the anointing of God is available to you as well. You don't have to have a title to be anointed. All you have to do is be committed to the kingdom of God, to walk in a spirit of unity. We often hear Christians pray for an anointing of the Spirit on God's servant, yet each true believer has already been anointed by God. This anointing established us so that we do not fall, and enlightens us so that we do not go astray. That's the whole purpose of the anointing. That's why the indwelling of the Spirit brings to your remembrance. When Paul says when he wanted to do good, he said wrong was forever present. And it doesn't matter. As a believer, wrong is going to always be forever present. Because this is Satan still looking to see who he can seek, looking to see who he can get into. Because he remember your yesterday where God has forgot about your yesterday. He's looking for your future. But Satan won't let you rest. See, when the high priest, when they were anointed, the oil ran down his beard, the front of his body, and over his collar. The idea here is that the abundance, as if so much anointment was poured forth as to descend the whole person, consecrating the entire man. See, the overflow of God, the love of God, the drippings of his abundance is upon us when we are anointed by the oil. This suggests that the oil bathed the 12 precious stones that the priests wore on their breastplates over their head. And this bathing is a picture of spiritual unity. Remember when the priests went into the Holy of the Holies, they had the 12 stones on their breastplate. When they were anointed with oil, it ran down their head, down their beard, even covered the 12 stones on their breastplate, down to his robe. See, when God's people walk in the Spirit, they forget about the externals and major on the internal things of the Spirit. The fact that the oil is described as flowing from the head down is meant to imply that it is a great blessing bestowed upon us from above. When the Lord anoints you, he sets you apart. He consecrates you. He said, Deacon Lily, sit over there. I got a special purpose for you. I got certain people that I need you to minister to. He said, don't worry about who's in charge. He says, because I'm in charge. I set you aside. That's why he said, come out from among them. And when he says, come out from among them, he said, I have picked you out from among them and set you over here. And therefore, as believers, we celebrate what we have in common rather than emphasizing our differences. Our celebration is heightened in that God comes down like the dew and the oil to bless and enrich efforts to fellowship. See, God wants us to fellowship with one another. He wants us to be encouraged by one another. Thus, love in Christian community is so abundant, so overflowing, that it spreads over all the spiritual body, all the churches, the same sweet and holy influence symbolized by the oil pervades all and combines all. That's why we are anointed by the Spirit. We're born of the Spirit. We're anointed by the Spirit. And in the last stanza, it says, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that's descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life evermore. That means to me that we are refreshed by the Spirit. As if the dew of Hermon was falling on Mount Zion. See, people do not have anything at all to do with the dew falling. Do we not? No matter what the weather prognosticator said, we don't have nothing to do with the dew. God sends it whenever he will. And the dew that falls from God is symbolic of the Spirit resting on us. See, in Scripture, dew symbolizes the life-giving word of God, the blessings of God that brings fruitfulness, and God's special refreshing on his people. Descending upon the mountains of Zion, Hermon was a mountain which flourished because of the heavy dew that rest upon it, a fruitful place. The mountains of Zion tend to be barren and lifeless. So this picture that is displayed is one that unity makes the barren and the lifeless places come alive. That's what it means. The dead places in our lives, when the dew falls, they come alive. Something that needs to be revived. Something that needs to be awakened. See, when the dew from heaven falls down, it's the symbolic presence of the Spirit of the Lord. See, reminding us that he's in control. Whenever that gracious dew falls, the dry families, the dry churches of Zion are surely nourished and refreshed. And nothing in nature is more silent than the dew. The rain rattles, the wind hollows, the ocean booms, but the dew descends calmly and unheard. Genuine love is never noisy. See, God's love is never noisy. You get excited because of his love, but his love is never noisy. The only way we can see love is by your actions that you take. The psalmist compares the influence of brotherly unity upon the nations to the effect of the dew upon vegetation. The point in the song is that unity enjoyed among God's people is ultimately God's gift. God has given us all at least one gift, but the unity is given to the church for us to be on accord. Like any gift, we can choose not to open it or even return it. But where hearts are open to God's reconciling work in Jesus Christ, there is peace and there's celebration. Unity to be real must begin within. See, when we dwell together in true Christian unity, we are witnesses to the truth of Christ's mission. The Holy Spirit grieved by the sins that bring division. The oil and the dew reminds us that unity is not something that we work up, but that God sends down. See, God sends it down. You don't try to work up unity. No, God sends it down. For some of us, unity will never be fully obtained unless we confront some hard relational and emotional issues between ourselves and others. That's why, again, we are born of the Spirit, we are anointed by the Spirit, and we are refreshed by the Spirit. I'm done. But I got to tell you a story. The story is a group of mountain climbers set out to conquer a mountain. Among their ranks was a novice, or a beginner, who was embarking on his first climb. For several hours, they climb. And at last, they reached the plateau that they had set their sights on. Once they got to the top of the mountain, the first-time climber stood straight up and stretched out his arms and said, "I did it! I did it! Yeah, I did it." As he celebrated his climbing accomplishment, a strong gust of wind rose up and almost blew him off the top of the mountain. The more experienced climbers explained to him and said, "Man, when you get to the top, don't ever stand straight up on the mountaintop, but rather drop down to your knees to avoid being blown off the mountain." You see, the mature believer must be available to help give guidance to those who are new in Christ. See, the true mature believer knows that what it means to be brothers in brotherly love. The true mature believer knows what it means to express brotherly love. See, there are no cigars and no singular achievements in Christ. Whatever is done in secret, the Father will reward you openly. See, happy will be that day when the church shall be so united that it may sing this same song everywhere, expressing what it is and not merely what it should be. We should never forget that after climbing and reaching certain levels in life, it's not time for us to gloat over our success, but be humble to know that we didn't get here by ourselves. It was only because of the help of God. That's the spirit of unity. The church has to always be on one accord. We are born of the Spirit. We are anointed by the Spirit. We are refreshed by the Spirit. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave what he had, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might have a spirit of unity. The only person you are destined to become is the person you decide to be. Is there one today, as we rest on our feet, as we're believing in the Lord, as we're thanking him for this spirit of unity, thanking him for this privilege and this opportunity? Lord, we may not have done all we wanted, but we believe right now in the name of Jesus, no matter where people are, if they just take time to surrender themselves where they are, whether they're in their living room, bedroom, where they're watching us from the park, I pray, God, if they don't know you in the pardon of their sin, that they would accept Jesus Christ into their life. "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest." That's what the word said. Whosoever will, let him come. You can come by letter. You can come by your Christian experience. Even if you're in a backsliding condition, the church will openly accept you. Is there one today? I pray that if you're on the conference call, hear my cry. You may just be visiting with a friend and you just happen to hear this message. I want to encourage you that we have to be in a spirit of unity to accept whatever God will allow. Is there one today? We'll close with this prayer. Father, we love you. Father, we thank you. Go ahead, my sister, sing. We're grateful for all that you do, God. Thank you for every breath that we take, every step that we take. Thank you, God, for allowing unity to exist as a gift from you, as the dew that falls down symbolically upon us, God. We receive it, God. Stir up the gifts inside of us, God. Allow your presence to be evermore. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Lord, prepare me.
Lord, prepare me
to be a sanctuary.